You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
At Ross Tucker NFL, Meat Friday, for those of you that are just listening, bacon-wrapped hot dogs. Bacon-wrapped hot dogs. I've already had this morning three or four pieces of bacon, and you guys got a stash of candy or tasty cakes in there, which, like, I grew up outside of Philly. I'm from Wyomissing, Pennsylvania. I crushed a package of peanut butter candy cakes. That's the GOAT tasty cake item. Butterscotch crimpets are amazing.
I was just going to throw in a crimpet.
Butterscotch crimpets are amazing, but when it really gets down to it, peanut butter candy cakes. So peanut butter candy cakes are always a yes for me. Butterscotch crimpets are like a 90% yes. They're both amazing. How is tasty cake not national? Like, who's their competition? Like Little Debbie or what? It's not even close.
I grew up in Chicago, and we didn't have tasty cakes growing up. I learned about them as I came out east, but I hadn't heard of them until I was like in my teens.
Do people like tasty cake realize? This would be a good question for Darren Revelle, who's going to join us here from the Action Network. Does tasty cake realize that they could sponsor me for product only? Like, they really need to get more trade products like this. By the way, a sleepy town gets a wake-up call in the new Peacock original, Rutherford Falls, starring Ed Helms and Jana Schmieding. Don't miss the hilarious new comedy.
Fantastic transition,
streaming
buddy.
Now. Sign up at PeacockTV.com to get started. You know what's funny? I'm actually known on my podcast for my smooth transitions to the ad reads. Both of mine today have been so abrupt, so totally inappropriate and out of left field. And like, speaking of tasty cake, Ed Helms and Schmieding, they're killing it on Rutherford Falls, the Peacock original. Hilarious. All right, so we got Darren Revelle on for a reason, okay? Nobody knows more about these type of sports business questions than Darren Revelle from the Action Network. Darren Revelle has like 5 million Twitter followers. I don't know how you know why? Because Darren's content is so Twitter friendly. It's like the perfect shareable stuff. Like it's food or it's prices of things, gambling. Darren's got it figured out, man. Check him out again at Darren Revelle, R-O-V-E-L-L. I think most of you know that on Twitter. Darren, what's up, man? It's Ross. Long time no talk. How are you?
What's up, Ross? How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Okay, so we got to get into this new jersey rule with the NFL because I'm fascinated by this. I like talking numbers. You usually know the numbers, right? I just explained last segment why Brady's upset about it. I guess I should mention that the reason why they're doing the rule is because the Chiefs say with all the guys on IR and practice squad and retired numbers that they were running out of jersey numbers for like running backs, right? Because they were limited to whatever it was, 20 to 50 or whatever it is, right? They were limited. This will help them. First of all, I guess, Darren, do you buy that? Do you believe that that's the number one and only reason why they are allowing this, or do they think this will be good for business, fun to have players in single-digit numbers, et cetera?
Yeah, I don't really see the business side of it too much, other than, which I'm sure you were going to talk about, the idea that, you know, the players can't just switch their numbers willy-nilly with the fact that you have all these guys, all these fans that are buying jerseys. I mean, that's the only thing that I think is really intriguing, other than what you mentioned about Brady, which I had no clue why he went nuts. But your reasoning makes sense. But just from the marketing standpoint of it, I think there is a slight marketing advantage if you have a great number, but you can't just change it out of nowhere. And that's where the rules of buying your jersey come in.
Right. So here's the deal for people that don't know. The rule is, you can change your number, but if you change your number this year, you have to buy all of the existing inventory. You can wait a year. You can say, listen, I'm changing my number in 2022, which I'll be very curious to see how many guys change it and just pay the inventory, and how many guys just, you know, kind of put their foot in the ground, I am changing it 2 years from now. The question is, Darren, because I read a story this morning, Dalvin Cook wants to switch to four. The Vikings running back. and he's currently investigating how much inventory there is and how much money he'll have to pay. So I guess that's question one, Darren. For a guy like Dalvin Cook, probably the most popular jersey for the Vikings, maybe Thielen, I don't know. What kind of numbers are we talking here? Do you think Dalvin will have to pay back?
Okay, so this is where it gets really interesting. When you talk about when this rule was originally put in place, Ross, which was around 2005 or six, that's when I started reporting on this. I actually went back to my reporting, and one player, can't remember who it was, investigated it, and they would have to pay $215,000. The big one was, I think, the 2007 season when Chad Johnson switched his name to Ocho Cinco. Wanted to just change the name on the back, still have the 85, but change his name on the back. And he would have had to pay all the jerseys back. He did the investigating, and it was $4.8 million.
Oh, my
gosh. So now that has a lot to do with the fact that back then they were pre-making a lot of the jerseys. So the jerseys were in inventory for the entire season. Obviously, as you've gotten to a point where Fanatics is selling the amount of jerseys they are, they're the only ones who have permission to make jerseys, NFL jerseys on the spot on order. And they do that. The numbers are going to be significantly less because of that. So like, I think Dalvin Cook, now, yes, locally team shop, you'll have some, but I think most players' numbers are going to be below $150,000 because of the on-order environment we're in right now.
That is really interesting. Okay, so then the next step of that, there's two more questions just all off of that, Darren. One is, what are they, payroll deducting the money from the guys? Like, I would just say, yeah, I'm good for it. This is an IOU. Like, you know, are they going to payroll deduct this amount from the guys?
I think they do deduct for the jersey. So a lot of people don't know this. You probably do. When the players are exchanging jerseys at the end of the game, the players are actually paying for their own jersey. I believe the current cost is $350. You do have to pay the team. So I think it's deducted. But do most guys know when there's minus 350? I would say not. But so that there is already some sort of process. But yeah, I assume that you're going to probably, in this case, it's not going to be a fine to the league, but it's really going to, from the league, the league's not going to get it. I would assume Fanatics gets it. Now, I went to Fanatics, you know, 10 years ago in Jacksonville, and they had a room full of stuff that didn't work out. When you see 5,000 Jeremy Lin Knicks figurines, man, that's crazy. They had like this whole room of like undesirables that they couldn't sell any of anymore. But as I said, they've now moved into this business of on order. You order it, they make it on the spot, and they ship it. And the more they can do that, the less a player is going to have to pay.
All right. So, and we're talking with Darren Revell, wrapping up with the stud over at Action Network, at Darren Revell on Twitter. What do the guys make off the jersey sale? In other words, let's say Dalvin Cook has to pay 200 grand. A lot of people are going to buy the new Dalvin Cook number 4 jersey. What I know the players get some type of percentage, right? Like what do they get? And don't you think he'd be able to make up for it with people buying the 4 jersey?
So most of the guys are going to make like a standard cut. The as you get to be a bigger player, you'll make a couple $100,000. The top guys make, you know, 1.5, 1.7 million a year off their jerseys. Dalvin Cook is probably, I would say if he had to pay $150,000, I'd say he, depending on what type of year he had, he'd make that back in year one.
Got it. So, but it's a percentage of jersey sales.
Yes. Yes.
The percentage of the sale. Got it. Awesome. You know why I ask you that, Darren? Other than me going to the Buffalo Bills and having them make jerseys for like my wife and mom and mother-in-law, I only ever saw two Tucker 65 jerseys, like two people that actually paid for them in Buffalo. And I got a check from East Bay. Yeah. Like, did East Bay, is East Bay still around?
East Bay at some point was, so they probably customized it And if they customized it as a league, as a partner, they had to disclose that they customized it, Tucker.
I got a check from East Bay randomly in the off season one time.
For like $35.
No, it was like $1.37.
Oh, okay.
It was like, and I was like, what is this for? Why is East Bay sending me a check? But evidently those two people that bought my jersey or one or whatever.
Amazing.
It got me a dollar. Darren, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it.
You got it. Take care.
All right. Check him out on Twitter at Darren Revell, R-O-O-V-E-L-L. Good info. That's what I wanted. So here's a question for you guys, for the Danettes. How do you feel about this rule? Love it, hate it, totally indifferent. Paul, you're first.
I generally like it. I'm more of a college football fan than NFL. And so I like, remember Lewis Nix, the late Lewis Nix? He was a nose tackle with number one for Notre Dame.
Yes.
It's just so fun and refreshing. But I was a little mad that the NFL didn't open it up even more and let quarterbacks go past the number 19. Quarterbacks still have to be 1 through 19 in the current NFL system. Remember Bernie Kosar in college was 20. Doug Flutie was 22. I think Heath Shuler of Tennessee
was 21.
21. And there's a bunch of guys like that, Jared Lorenzen. It would have been cool to see.
That is the most awkward thing when a quarterback's in the 20s,
but it makes him look faster.
It doesn't make him look faster.
Yes, it does.
It just is awkward. I remember Michael Irvin at the U was 47.
Oh,
remember that? Like,
yes.
Michael Irvin just killing people. Wide receiver number 47. Seton, what do you think about the rule?
I mean, it's possible that Tom Brady's just being a baby over this. It's possible, but I think if there is something about the quality of play or competitive balance or something like that. If that's being affected just to sell more jerseys, then I'm not in favor of it. Like, to me, I don't know. I kind of like seeing a wide receiver wear 87, you know, but maybe that's just because that's the way my brain is programmed, you know?
Well, I think a lot of fans, if a lot of guys change, I think a lot of fans are going to embrace it because they like the unique and new, but there's going to be other fans that are like, this is confusing me now.
If you go back,
like, was that the running back or was that the receiver? Like, I don't know who this guy is.
I went back and looked it up, and the NFL did do it to make it more easier to consume on TV for fans. They always want to make their product easier to consume and grow the game. So when the NFL regimented the numbers back in like the 70s, they did it because when you're looking at your screen, if you see a guy make a tackle and his number 53, you know exactly what position he plays.
Yes.
If a guy makes a great hit and he's number 22, you know what position he is. The wide receiver, when he catches the ball, you know that, well, that wasn't a running back catching the ball because it's number 84. And they did it because they made the game easier for the consumer, not for the players.
And in college, I remember like Manti Te'o and the quarterback for Notre Dame that year, Golson, in the national, they had the same number. They're both number 5.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine if they're two totally different body types, but sometimes they're like, guys get asked for their autograph after the game. They're like, no, it's not me, bro. It's not me. McLovin, your thoughts on the jersey change?
Well, I can relate to this a little bit because unlike you, I was a bench warmer in high school and I would show up the first day of basketball practice and they'd hand me number 55. That meant I was never seeing the court. So in basketball, you're given your number based on how good you are. I like it. I think it's kind of cool that like Chase Young earned number 2 at Ohio State. I think there's a cool aspect to it.
Single digits is a really big thing at most college programs where they dole those out specially. Yes. Fritzy.
I lean with Tom Brady. I like things as they are. I'm used to those numbers designated to those positions. And even if I'm not out there and confused with who's coming after me, I just kind of like those numbers. That's how it's been all over the years, and I don't like that.
All right, so I explained why Brady doesn't like it, and I think there's some truth to it. I would also say I think he's probably overstating it a little bit. I think he's exaggerating a little bit. Like, you know what it is? He's 43 years old, and he really doesn't feel like having to put more time in and more work in than he already does. Like, I don't think, do you think it's fair to say as we get older that we become more averse to change? I think I am. And you guys are all shaking your head. I think two things that I've learned about getting older. I like change less, and I get colder. More easily. I do. I get cold. I used to never get cold. Never. But now, like, so last night, go ahead, Seton.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I would only add to that, too, that I like change less and I like quiet more, which was never anything that was important to me. But sometimes I'll drive in the car for an hour with nothing on and just, I love the sound of the quiet. I'm like, dang, dude, I'm getting old.
Okay, so I'll give you guys an example. I'll give you guys two quick examples, okay? Number one, I had a Droid for like 10 years. It's a long story. I did a speech for Verizon. They gave me a Droid. So I was a Droid guy. I don't know. My family and friends have been trying to get me to get an iPhone forever. Forever. I finally did it. I finally did it last Friday. I'm still trying to figure it out. So yesterday, I get a text message. So I'm the head softball coach for my daughters, okay? This all ties in together, I promise. Stay with me here, people. Stay with me. I get a text message. I'm the head softball coach for my daughters. They both on the same 8U softball team. We're the Paxtonia Pink Puppies, okay? And there's like, you know, there's like three teams at under 14, three under 12, both baseball and softball. At like 4:15, I get a group text message from the head of the softball association and the president saying, "Hey, Ross, every other level has canceled their games tonight. Are you guys still playing?" And I just assumed we were playing. I mean, it was high of 48, partly cloudy, windy. I don't know. I'd asked my wife. She was a high school softball player. And she said, "You just bundle up and you play." I was like, okay, I didn't think any of it. Well, then when they said everybody else canceled, I felt bad.
There wasn't like lightning and thunder, right?
No. I tried to call the head of softball, but I end up FaceTiming both of them. I end up FaceTiming the president and the head of softball. I had to like quick hang up real quick. I don't like change. I'm still getting used to the phone. But I will say this. I put on like my skiing undershirt thing for the softball game. I had my Paxtonia Pink Puppy jersey on, but I had my skiing thing. Here's the thing. The girls played great. And we were the only team in the league to play last night. So I don't know how good they'll end up being as softball players, but there is no tougher 8U softball team in the galaxy than the Paxtonia Pink Puppies. We played four innings. We played very well. I told the girls at the end, that was awesome. You guys, we made some outs. We got six runs, and you're the only – the 8-year-old girls – none of the boys played, 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 14-year-old. None of the older girls played, 10-year-old, 12. The 8U Pink Puppies. And this is a day they'll remember forever. Yes, Seton.
It's tremendous. You know, I think that those other canceled games, by the way, sound like more like dads being like, I don't feel like doing this. You going out today? No? All right, let's just cancel it.
Right.
Well, the thing is, it's so hard to reschedule. Like the field, it's such a pain in the butt to reschedule. And here's the thing. I knew I was driving up here. So usually when I'm driving up here to do the show, I'll drive up at like 1, like early afternoon. It was 5 o'clock at this point. I'm like, no, I waited this long. We're playing. The puppies, my team's on the field. My team is on the field.
I heard the Purple Ponies showed up in theory, you know, but they got smoked by your team.
The other team was called the Pearls.
That's right.
Who came up with Pink Puppies?
The team. I liked Pink Pandas. Or Pink Panthers, but it was either Pink Puppies or Black Owls. We're hot pink and black. There were some girls that wanted Black Owls, which I just wasn't expecting that. It's dark, right? We went with Pink Puppies. I will say this, by the way. It's one of the best things I've ever done in my life. Legitimately, like all the dudes listening or watching right now, I promise you guys, if you can coach your kids in something, it is so unbelievably awesome. Like when these girls that never played before get a hit and they're smiling, I'm not allowed to, I guess, but I want to like hug them and be like, yes, I get so fired up when they like make an out and they get that smile on their face. I mean, I understand why guys are coaches. Like, I understand why people are like high school coaches, NFL. Like, I get it. Obviously, at that level, it's a little bit different. But, like, the joy, the smile they have when they do something well, it's like one of the best feelings in the world. It's amazing. You know what else is amazing? Adam Lefko. That was a little bit better transition. A little better. Not great, but a little better. Adam Lefko, by the way, buddy of mine, suburban Philly, NBA on TNT. I think he does Tuesday nights. There's a lot of NBA stuff to talk about. He's very smooth. he kind of reminds me of a Mercedes-Benz van. Where other vans stop short,
attaboy,
Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond. From their customization options and cutting-edge tech to their five-star sales service and financial support crew, Mercedes-Benz vans are built, equipped, and better yet, engineered to be ready for anything. So, go the extra mile by taking that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. I got to get a deal with Mercedes. That could be how I take the pink puppies to all the away games in the Mercedes-Benz van. That could be the official transportation of the Paxtonia pink puppies. Lefko is next, 22 minutes past the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
You can always hit me up over at RossTucker.com. We are at DP Show on Twitter. I'm at RossTuckerNFL on all of the various social media platforms. Live on Peacock, which is great. Hello, mother-in-law, Rachel. Fox Sports Radio, all the a million different affiliates and all the people that will listen later on demand via podcast. Please subscribe and check out your boy, the Ross Tucker podcast. Because like I said, I never know when I'm coming back here on the Dan Patrick Show. So you got to get some, Ross Tucker in your life in between. You also need to watch the NBA on TNT on Tuesday nights. Because my guy, Adam Lefko, is absolutely killing it. He's also got the Lefko Show on Bleacher Report, which I've been on, by the way, and hopefully will be on again soon. I want to get Adam on the Ross Tucker podcast soon to talk a little NBA and talk a little about Eagles. He's an Eagles fan. He's bumming me out with some of his tweets lately. He's bumming me out a little bit. So I'll get to that in a little bit. You got to tune in to Adam on Bleacher Report's BR Gridiron Draft Night. Live across the BR app, BR Gridiron Twitter, and YouTube channels starting Thursday, April 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Connor Rogers, Aqib Talib, Reggie Wayne, and Robert Griffin III will also be part of it. Lefko, what's up, man?
You know, it's not often I get compared to a van, but when I do, I hope it's from Ross Tucker.
First of all, you hear how awesome his voice is? You hear how smooth it is? It's like a Mercedes-Benz van. I know I've asked this before, Adam. How'd you get your voice like that? It wasn't like you. Your voice is not like that when you were 16.
My voice is awful right now because I am fighting something in my sinuses that I don't even know what it is. Last time I came on here, Dan Patrick absolutely sunned me and he brought out the pipes. I think I've talked about this before. I hated my voice for a long time, Ross. I went to Syracuse, Tirico, Costas. It's like beautiful. And then I come in and people say I sound like a 40-year-old divorcee. And so like it's like rough. Like I've been like inhaling cigars. And so I used to hate my voice, but to get compliments from you is refreshing.
I think it's glorious. I think it's like a smooth, sultry voice. Although Pauly just said he thinks it sounds like Demi Moore.
Yeah.
Oh.
In a good way.
Have you ever heard that before? It is a little, there is a little Demi Moore there.
I've never heard that. I'm gonna go and just watch YouTube clips of Demi Moore. Shaq likes my voice too. If you ever check out his Instagram, he thinks I have a really good white guy voice. Like when I really dial up the white guy voice. So if I'm like, well, hello, good to see you. He thinks it's like how all white men should sound.
All right, so here's the question about Shaq. Is he the same guy off the air? Because you and I both know some people, exact same guy on the air and off the air, like me. Some people, very, very different. Which category is Shaq in?
Shaq doesn't have an opportunity to not be Shaq because everywhere he walks in, everyone's like, oh, Shaq. And so what I've learned through Shaq, I'm going to do a little bit of a deep dive. Military background, dad, super disciplinarian, moved all over the country. And he was always, as you can imagine, this enormous kid. And so he just began watching TV and seeing comedy and was like, oh, it's a lot easier to meet people if I'm just hilarious all the time. And so with Shaq, you just don't know what you're going to get, Ross. Like, you come off set and he's in the back DJing and he's just like, and he's like, I know Lefko likes this. All white people like this. And like, either that, or he's doing like food reviews, or he's like, throw grapes in my mouth while I'm sleeping. Like, it never turns off. It's the biggest kid I've ever met. But it's always, how can my team succeed, man? So it's he is him all the time, doesn't change.
Everybody I know that knows him loves him and says he's like the legit awesomest guy. Love to hear it. Speaking of Shaq, his former team, Lakers, they got Anthony Davis back last night. That's like the big news in the NBA last night. Do you think with Davis back, when they get LeBron back, you still think they got a pretty good chance to do this again?
You know, Anthony Davis, 2 of 10, 4 points. That's not back for Anthony Davis. But if the Lakers have Anthony Davis and LeBron, and they are healthy, and it is the playoffs, they are the favorite to win the championship. Because we've seen this story too many times, you know. And also, I look around the rest of the league, and I'm seeing a lot of issues everywhere else. Philadelphia, I go, okay, Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons in the playoffs, kind of scary. Utah, no one's going to believe it until they see it. Phoenix is a little bit too early in the process. Can DeAndre Ayton really guard Anthony Davis? The Clippers, no one's believing it because they haven't done it in the playoffs. Denver's injured. Brooklyn, they're never playing together. They've been together for 7 games. And Milwaukee, I feel like, is in the same boat as Utah and the Clippers, where we're going, we've seen you lose in the playoffs before. So I think if LeBron and Anthony Davis are healthy, they are the favorites. And the big question is if, because Anthony Davis didn't look that healthy last night.
All right, so what if all of the Nets are healthy? What if they have the big three?
Oh, yeah, that's scary. Because
they're not the favorites? If they have Harden, Durant, and Kyrie all healthy, all playing, they're not the favorites?
So the Lakers are the favorites in the West. The Nets would be the favorite in the East. The reason that I give it to the West is I'm not someone that likes to bet against LeBron a lot, especially because they have the experience of getting there. To me, the Nets are, you know, in the NFL playoffs, when all of a sudden they don't call pass interference as much and they let you kind of get a little bit more physical and Bill Belichick just knows exactly what to do.
Yeah.
In the NBA, it turns into a half court game and it's not about Utah's passing and accuracy and all that. It's, can you score by yourself? And Brooklyn's ability to score with Harden, Kyrie, and KD is unmatched. I would still give a slight edge to the Lakers because they have some continuity. But that is the finals that I'm rooting for, because all the storylines, KD undefeated against LeBron. No. 2-1 against LeBron because of the Thunder time. Kyrie taking on LeBron again. If James Harden wins a championship, Ross, like, James Harden, I think I may have said this before, if James Harden wins a championship, it's kind of like if Matt Stafford wins a championship with the Rams, where it's like, man, he's like a top 5 passing yards guy. Like, all of a sudden, so much is validated. I just love the storylines of that matchup.
All right, so first of all, that is not our preferred matchup. You grew up outside of Philadelphia. We want the Sixers to beat the Nets. So I got to say, I really dislike the Nets. I don't like any aspect of how they were put together. I don't think any of those guys are likable. I mean, Kyrie, I won't even go there. Durant is not really likable because of what he did going to Golden State and everything. And Harden, how he got out of Houston. I want the Sixers to beat the Nets so bad I can taste it. I would say, other than football, the Sixers beating the Nets this year is maybe one of the most important sports events for me personally in like the last 10 years. Because I'm a Sixers fan. The Sixers drafted Embiid. They drafted Simmons. I've been waiting for this. And I just don't like anything about the Nets. I don't like the super team. I don't like how they brought these guys together. I don't like the players themselves. Is that my Sixers bias? Or do you think a lot of people dislike the Nets?
As a former offensive lineman that just waxed poetic about girls softball, you not liking the Nets is the most predictable take I've ever heard. There is a generational divide about the Brooklyn Nets. people over a certain age that love Barry Sanders because he tossed the ball to the ref after a play hate the Brooklyn Nets. People in my generation and a little bit younger get it. And here's the reason why. Imagine you are a 28-year-old that grew up listening to Dan Patrick, listening to SportsCenter, and hearing them go, you know why Michael Jordan's the GOAT? Because he's got 6 rings. You know why he's better than him? Because he has more rings than him. We have baked it into these young guys' brains that the only way they can be treated as champions is if they win on the biggest stage. So for Kevin Durant to go and do what he did, he was just fulfilling the prophecy that people like Dan Patrick were setting for him. I think that I am someone that tries to understand Kyrie. I am not someone that thinks that I think everybody looks at the flat earth comments and they go, how could you listen to anything since then? I think he has a lot of very wise things to say. I think he talked recently about language and the N-word, and I thought it was very enlightening. I think that he has been a leader in terms of the Black Lives Matter movement and a lot of things in the bubble. I think there's a lot of thought in which he does. I think James Harden, the way he exited, is not very well-liked by a lot of people. I agree with that. At the same point, I am someone that believes in the player empowerment era. I am also someone that, like, if I was down there in Houston, like, I don't besmirch Blake Griffin wanting to leave Detroit because he signed a 5-year deal with the Clippers and then in year one got traded to Detroit. Like, why would I want him to want to play there? That's crazy. So I look at it as I'm just trying to enjoy the journey of these guys, and they've come together. And one of my favorite experiences was a 72-9 Warriors team. I like to watch things I've never seen before. I do like the Brooklyn Nets and what they're doing right now because I like watching players when they are happy. Watching James Harden when he is happy has been one of my most favorite basketball experiences this season. Leading the NBA in assists, doing everything he needs to do. It's been very enjoyable. So I do counter you, but I would love to see the Sixers beat the Nets. I really would.
Who's the MVP?
Nikola Jokic. Just Nikola Jokic just is top MB 10 in points. He's top 10 in points, in rebounds, in assists. They are fourth in the West. They are 18 games over 500. The Sixers are 19 games over 500. He loses Jamal Murray. They keep it rolling. They've won 4 in a row since Jamal Murray goes out. And Joel Embiid has missed a number of games, and they played pretty well in those games. I would go Jokic 1. I would go Embiid 2. I would go, it would have been Harden for a little bit. I would go Steph Curry 3, just because what we're seeing out of Steph Curry is incredible. To be able, I believe he's had 6 games of 10 or more threes this year, and no one that is active right now has had more than 5 in their entire career. So I would put him 3.
Last question. Why are you so down on the Birds, man? Like, your tweets are bumming me out. You're so down on Sirianni.
I'm not down on the Birds. Okay.
Why are you so down on him? He's just starting. Give him a chance.
Rock, paper, scissors? Rock, paper, scissors. That's how Ross, how am I supposed to listen to this man at a press conference who's out there, his first press conference? Because here's my reason, okay? When the Eagles were looking for a head coach, Ross Tucker, there was a lot of guys out there that were super qualified. But here they hire Nick Sirianni. And why did they hire him? Because he wowed them in the interview process. And the only thing that I can see to get the experience of what Jeff Lurie and Howie Roseman saw are the press conferences. And so if he was wowed, and then he gives press conferences in which he says, we do rocks, paper, scissors, or the clip that I posted that went super viral, and I was not expecting that, in which he said I don't even know. It was rambling into nothing. And I have former Eagles texting me saying that we should be concerned. Ross, I'm asking you, other than blind faith, where are you getting any confidence from Nick Sirianni?
I like the energy and the passion. I like that he's energetic. Here's the thing. Here's what matters, Adam. He's got to be like this with the players. Like, I need to know. I'll be interested. You know I do their preseason games on TV. I'll be interested to talk with him and see how genuine it is. I think it is. Like, I've seen him on enough things now. I think it is genuine. And as long as you're that guy all the time, I think the players will like it. But you got to be that guy all the time. You got to be authentic.
You know what I wanted? I wanted a coach that's really good at play calling and play development. I want somebody that's so much smarter than everybody else that they can develop. Also, like, this isn't college football. Constant encouragement, super positivity. When you've lost three games in a row, you've been in a locker room. Is that message really going to resonate? Guys, we're so close. We're so close. Come on, let's get some competition. They're going to tune him out so fast. Look, I want it to work. I want Jalen Hurts to be great. Shoot, draft Jalen Waddle at 12. Jalen Hurts, Jalen Rager, Jalen Waddle. Jalen's everywhere. It'll be great. I just think that it sounds like some high school pep talk stuff that I just don't think resonates with grown men, because it's a grown man team. That's an older roster.
Yeah, I guess we're going to find out. Check him out on social at Adam Lefko. And again, tune in to company Adam man. On the Bleacher Report.
Danette, you hear how he's talking? He's a company man. He's on that Eagles payroll, baby. I love that.
No,
that's a good dude right there.
No, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I said to you, I want to see what he's like with me one-on-one. You know, when I'm talking with him like that, I want to see how genuine, authentic he is. Adam, always genuine, authentic. BR Gridiron Twitter, YouTube. Just follow him on social. He'll post what he's doing on draft night with Aqib Talib, everybody. Thank you, Adam.
Hey, I'm the Mercedes-Benz Vans of humans. Pleasure to be here. Good talking to you, Ross.
I love that. That could be like a voicemail answer right there. It's like, hi, you've called Adam Lefko. And boy, aren't you glad you did. I mean, his voice is awesome. I got to explain that rock, paper, scissors thing. And what my first reaction was when I heard the Eagles head coach Sirianni say that. Plus, I'm going to get into a mock draft, but not the mock draft you guys think, where I'm going to guess what these teams are going to do. I'll tell you what they should do. 44 minutes past the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ross Tucker at Ross Tucker NFL on social, filling in for Dan today. Appreciate those of you that are hitting me up on social. You guys have absolutely the best audience. I say it every time I'm on the show. Just the pure volume of tweets of people just showering me with praise and love and adoration. I could get used to this.
We filter out the bad ones.
I could. Do you really?
Yeah, we have the filter on to just get them right out of your feed.
Because, I mean, I need to come on more often because I don't get this kind of love on the Ross Tucker podcast. Like, this is like a really nice ego boost for me. Anytime I feel like, what can I say? My fans love me. The people love me. What can I tell you? All right. So in all sincerity, though, okay, we were talking with Lefko. Lefko is really down on Sirianni, Nick Sirianni, the new Eagles head coach. And it kind of went viral this week with him talking about doing rock, paper, scissors shoot with draft prospects on the Zoom call. So all these teams right now, for the last couple months, they've been Zooming with all these players. You know what my first reaction was? And it's perfect that I'm wearing this shirt today because I am the virtual beer pong champion of the world. A buddy of mine had a birthday a year ago, and we did a virtual beer pong tournament, and I won it, and a friend of mine made this shirt for me, and I wear it every time I see my buddy now. Shout out, Luke, for me dominating. I will be wearing this shirt very soon, by the way, and playing actual beer pong. I'm back on the outdoor circuit now that the pandemic, you know, now that we're vaccinated or whatever. But my initial reaction to the Nick Sirianni rock, paper, scissors thing was, if these NFL coaches could have seen me play beer pong in college, I would have been a first-round pick. I am irrationally competitive when it comes to beer pong. And if that's what they're looking for, I would have been awesome. I think rock, paper, scissors, shoot is a little awkward to play via Zoom. You really need to get the hands like near each other. Like, how do you do that on Zoom? Number one. Number two, you know, what would you have done if Sirianni did that? I would have just gone rock every time. And he'd be like, paper, I win. I'd be like, dude, coach, my rock would go right through your paper. I have always tried to argue that rock beats everything. Rock smashes scissors. Rock goes right through paper. Like, whose idea was it paper wraps up rock? Oh, it wraps it up? Oh, stop wrapping me up. But how is that beating it?
But they would look at you as someone who does not follow the rules and does not listen to authority. That's what they would take from that.
You know what's funny? I don't think I would be that competitive doing rock, paper, scissors, shoot with a coach on Zoom. But if you ask the guys I played with, there was no one that was like more competitive on the field. I don't know that I would have been like, no, coach, I'm going to get you now. I will say this, though. They try to throw these kids off. You know, these kids are so rehearsed. They know what questions are going to get asked, and they know what they're going to say. You know, he talked about it from a competitiveness standpoint. I wouldn't be surprised if part of the reason why Sirianni did it was just to get the guys like doing something different that they're not ready for. Oh, rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. And then like the next question would be like, why'd you do that your sophomore year in college in October? We got the police report. Why'd you do that? You know, like try to like throw them off and throw that in there at the last second.
Weather's getting warmer, day's getting longer, and I don't mean go to the beach. It's time to get outside and start your cooking and all your meals with a Traeger wood-fired grill. Fueled by all-natural hardwood pellets, Traeger grills enhance everything you cook. Everything. I'm making salmon this weekend, and my wife loves me even more when I make salmon. She's like, what did you do to that salmon? I'm like, I really didn't do that much. The Traeger did all of it. But you could grill, smoke, braise, bake, roast, barbecue, everything. Pizza, desserts, everything. Pie. Plus, Traeger makes cooking delicious and simple. Controlling the grill's temperature is easy as just using your oven. Pick the temp you want, turn the dial, and that's it. And then even if you want to like leave and go in your house, I don't know why you would, but you can use Wi-Fi or technology. That means you control your grill right from your phone using the Traeger app. It's a breeze. That means you can monitor your cooks, your grill, everything you're doing, and maybe just sit with a six-pack and admire your grill while you're cooking it. Learn more by heading to your local dealer right now. Get ready for summer, dudes. TraegerGrills.com/DP Show. That's TraegerGrills.com/DP Show.